Hi, and welcome to Sunday Replay for the service at Harmony Tooloola Lake on September 8th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Miller, and this week we had a special combined service at the Hollywood campus to honor Reverend Kathy Cooper Ledesma. Let's listen in as she gives her last message. Bye for now.
Thank you all. As someone who doesn't like attention or to talk about herself much, this is truly just amazing. So thank you so much for everything and for everyone who's contributed to the service. I will try to keep this short so we can move into the air-conditioned gym. But I promise nothing. My decades-long friend, the Reverend Dr. Gwen Gibord, founder of the Gibord Center, whose widow, Dr. Lo Sprague, is here along with our friend Mary, would always end her phone calls with me with the phrase, "Bye for now." Now, she passed from this life into life eternal about 5 years ago, but her clarity and understanding that while our relationship might change from a phone conversation to an in-person gathering, whatever that change is, it doesn't constitute an ending. The Spirit moves among us constantly, so we're only saying bye for now. And that's what we're experiencing today, family. We're saying bye for now. For everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. In February 2006, I was in bed with a really bad cold, and my superintendent, now Bishop Grant Haggia, called and said that Hollywood was the first appointment that they were making in the new year, and Bishop Mary Ann Swinson wanted to appoint me to Hollywood. And did I need time to pray about it? Which is typical Methodist speak. And I said, absolutely not. I'm with my runny nose and everything, I said, I'm thrilled to be the first woman pastor of Hollywood. And I had to keep that secret for weeks until he could come and meet with our HR committee, which in technical terms is called the Staff Parish Relations Committee at the time, and officially introduce me. Now, that meeting was going to be on a Sunday after church, and the congregation was abuzz about who's going to be the new pastor. Ed suggested that I leave for a while and then come back after most people were gone, so no one would know. So I did, and when I came back, I walked through the gym, came in that way, and Jane Crockett was walking out. And she was through the gym, and she saw me, and she said, I thought you left. I said, yeah, I did. She said, but the new pastor's coming. And I just looked at her and said, yep. And watched the realization come over her face. And she said, go, go. I went upstairs, and Ed was waiting for me outside the classroom where the meeting was taking place. And he gave me some sage advice. He said, when you walk in that room, Kathy, enjoy every moment of the love and the happiness that this committee will heap upon you. Savor this time and this moment, this celebration. I did then and I do today. And I thank you, Ed, for your, where are you, Ed? Where, there you go. For your love and your support as a colleague and a friend over these decades. It's been an honor to work with you. Now, in 2006, our team was small. Mark Stevenson was the business administrator and the facility manager, and he also created and printed the worship bulletins because our church secretary, the wonderful Grace Godin, whom the Grace Room is named after, she didn't type. We had a couple of custodians, a nursery worker, the amazing Fran Finney, an organist, choir director, and me. Over the years, we've intentionally grown into a creative and wonderful staff that works not just here, but at our second campus in Tooloola Lake. Including an AV staff that was created by Marlon Da Silva, and it wasn't me, even though that was one of the lessons, it wasn't me that created the AV team and got us online, it was Marlon. This great team I love and have great respect for. It's too hot to name everyone, but if you're part of the staff, would you please stand so we can recognize you? Now, like any family, there's always going to be some squabbles and teasing of one another. One of my favorites was when our facility manager, Gilbert Cheng, and our former associate pastor, Dave Stambaugh, decided to tell me that there was a bat in the sanctuary rafters, and if I had left my water out on the little table, not to drink it because the bat might have gotten into it. Mind you, they told me this the week before Christmas. So what was I doing during both services on Christmas Eve? Looking like this, wondering, is that bat gonna fly in and swoop down during my sermon? So they came clean in January when I inquired if the bat had been caught, and Gilbert looked at me as only Gilbert can. He smiled and he said, "There's no bat. Dave made it up." And like many families, we have held each other up during difficult times. The caring for and passing of elderly parents, the loss of beloved congregation members. And when my husband died 10 years ago, almost to the day this month, this team and all of you as a congregation held me and my family so tightly, we will be forever grateful. And John West, you helped to plan one of the greatest memorial services of all time. So thank you. This is my commandment, that you love one another. We got here, family, to this place and in this time because there were a number of us in the congregation who are willing to do the hard work of loving one another and finding new ways of spreading the intentional love of God to this community. In 2008, our district superintendent, now Bishop Cedric Bridgeforth, yes, there's a trend in this pot, sent a group of us to church boot camp. We were more than slightly uncomfortable as we were not among other progressive congregations. At one point, the facilitator came to us and said, "Would you like more coaching?" And we said, "Yes, but we don't think our theologies are aligned." And he said, "If you want me to teach you about progressive theology, then no, I am not your person. But if you want me to teach you how to grow your progressive church, I'm your guy." The Reverend David Bridgman walked with us as our coach on and off for 10 years, helping us to focus on mission and ministry and a new governance board structure that would enable them both, plus our second campus in Toluca Lake. Well, all of you who either served on that strategic leadership team or on any facet of the governance board, please stand so we can thank you for helping us achieve this milestone. We've had two major areas of ministry focus over the past 18 years. In 2008, when Prop 8 was on the ballot, we had two marriage equality banners vandalized here on our corner. When Prop 8 passed, it was later overturned in the courts, and in 2015, federal marriage equality became the law of the land. The same could not be said of the United Methodist Church. It was not until General Conference this past May of 2024 that full inclusion of all God's people, no matter who you are, no matter whom you love, is now written in our book of discipline. But I must say that the prohibition on marrying two people who love each other, regardless of gender, never stopped me. I was always a pastor first and an elder in the United Methodist Church second. When one of my colleagues threatened to bring me up on charges on my Facebook page if I dared to hold a same-gender wedding here at Hollywood, I said, meh. Because that's what being an ally means. Living out the call of the Christ, this is my commandment, that you love one another no matter the cost. For everything there is a season, and for every time a purpose under heaven. In 2018, Matt Waite in our choir approached me about a friend of his named Vivian, who was attending Duke Divinity School. Vivian was a trans woman and needed to do a summer internship in a church, but there were no, quote, available placements in the Raleigh-Durham area. Would we be open to having her here for a summer? We took it to the governance board, found funding, and we had a great summer together. It is my prayer that the next trans person attending any of the 13 United Methodist seminaries and needing to find a summer placement will be able to do so without having to travel across the country. In 2019, Reverend Denise came to me and said that the conference was going to be hiring a quarter-time LGBTQ coordinator. And she said, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I think that since I already know you're going to be doing all this work anyway, that we should give you to the conference. We should hire Bridie back for that quarter time. And that way, Hollywood will get the credit for helping lead the efforts toward full inclusion in CalPAC. And so that's what we did. And so that's how Denise started serving at the conference level. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Over the past 18 years, homelessness has increased in Hollywood to record levels, and providing direct relief and advocating for Housing First has been our other major area of ministry. As you've heard, we've been a founding member of Hollywood Forward, which came about because of a group of that was chaired by Carrie Morrison from the Business Improvement District, came together to bring together nonprofits and government agencies and faith communities to try and work on solving the problem. From there, it grew to a group of outreach workers with a specialized task force called the Group of 14, where we met every other week to assess the most vulnerable 14 people in Hollywood who were unhoused. Two of them were part of this congregation, our sweet Englishman Francis and our dear Raquel. Francis ultimately received housing when the need to be a citizen was lifted, but passed just prior to the pandemic. Raquel, for those of you who didn't know her, Raquel, many of you may not know her, she lives with schizophrenia, and she lived for 16 years on our corner. She became part of our story. We cared for her, took her food, brought her blankets, wrote letters to the mental health department and to our supervisors and trying to get her housing and get her conserved. It was only in 2016 when Steve Lopez of the LA Times and Anthony Ruffin of Housing Works wrote an article about Raquel and the need, the fact that people were dying on the streets, that the mental health department took action. She was ultimately placed in a conservatorship in a geriatric psych center. I visited her a few times pre-pandemic and would call her every October for her birthday. Well, I spoke with her this past week because I wanted to tell her about my retirement, and it was the most lucid conversation we have ever had. She's moved to a new place that is not locked down, but still offers assisted living and check-ins. She's not happy that she can't light her candle on her altar in her room, but otherwise she's pleased that she has more freedom than ever before. If you have ever thought that you cannot make a difference in someone else's life, think of what we as a congregation have done for Raquel. You can make a difference and bring forth hope in the life of another. This congregation is a testimony to the hope that we can bring. Those red ribbons of our tower have proclaimed for 31 years that this is a community of hope and love that welcomes everyone, no matter who you are or whom you love. Now, I've shared these stories as a means of illustrating the scriptures that Liz and Polly read. Ecclesiastes 3 catalogs various seasons of life, 28 of them arranged in sharp contrast to one another, and yet each an undeniable part of human existence. And the list rings true. It begins what is most fundamentally true, that one day we're born into this world, and just as inevitably, one day our life in this world will come to an end. But what matters most between those poles is how we live, how we collaborate with God in writing the story of our lives during those other 26 times, and how we do so by loving one another as Christ first loved us. It has been the joy and the honor of my vocational life to write my story along each side of you, to celebrate life's goodnesses and to mourn with you in life's challenges, to baptize your children and then send them off to college, to sit with you at the hospital quietly as end-of-life decisions are being made, to plan celebrations of life for those we all loved. Thank you for this privilege. And to my own family, who literally grew up in this church, who would weep with me when I would come home sad, who would regularly ask, well, what's the sermon about this week? And who were always constantly and consistently supportive of all that we do here, would you please stand? I know I never ask you to do this, but I'm channeling my inner Renee today. So if you'd stand, just so I can thank you. as of last January, retirement was not on my bingo card for 2024. Like many of us, I don't know exactly what is next. Here's what I do know. Since there are so many things in life over which we have no control, no matter where we find ourselves in this life, we have to choose what season we are in. We can choose to praise God in any or in all seasons of our life. We can choose to make a difference in the lives of others by caring, by giving, by advocating, and especially by voting this November. We can choose to love our neighbor even when doing so is tough because they are so profoundly unlovable. We can choose to live fully and completely as the person whom God created us to be. We can choose what time it is. Family, together we have built this community. May you all continue to lead it to grow in love and grace. My prayers will surround you as you trust the Spirit to guide you. The Spirit that is reflected in my Pentecost stole that my son James gave me last Christmas, and that I wear for you today, my beloved friends, as we say bye for now. Amen.
It's halftime, which means it's time to talk about upcoming events and opportunities here at Harmony Toluca Lake. First off, this month's fundraising drive is for the LAUSD Homeless Outreach Program, and it's almost over. On Sunday, September 22nd, we will have our annual Blessing of the Backpacks during service, when we will also bless all the supplies and personal items collected for donation. Check the e-newsletter or our website for more info. Next is the upcoming Bible study, Discover Strength in Uncertainty. Join us for a transformative six-session hybrid study on one of the Bible's greatest prophets, Elijah. Starting on Thursday, September 19th at 7 p.m., in person at Harmony and online via Zoom, we will explore how God used this prophet to accomplish incredible feats. Now, to close out this episode, I'd like to share the moment when Gaddison and I sang, by special request, Reverend Kathy's favorite song, Land of Hope and Dreams.
Meet me. saints and sinners, this train carries losers and winners, this train. Troubadours and gamblers, this train carries lost souls. Oh, this train, dreams will not be thwarted, this train. Faith will be rewarded, this train.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay here on the Harmony Podcast Network, produced by me, Donna Miller. This week's guests were Reverend Kathy Cooper Ledesma, myself and Gaddison, plus John West and the HUMC Chancel Choir. Be sure to like, rate, subscribe, and especially to download these episodes, which helps us to continue making content for you and all our listeners. Sunday Replay is sponsored in part by Hollywood United Methodist Church, of which Harmony Tulika Lake is the second campus. Find us on social media and drop us a comment. Join us next Sunday for another service with this affirming faith community. Until next time, as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.